Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It was the best of sounds. It was the worst of sounds. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, Critics Week concludes with a top 10 list from pop critic John Pareles of the New York Times. Plus, our Soundcheck staff finally shares our picks for the year. And we head into the holidays on a Scrooge-like note by posing this question to our listeners. What was the worst music of the year? All that's still to come. But first, this week, we've asked some critics to share their musical favorites of 2011, from gadgets to films to hardcore rap and opera. Today, we round out our look back with New York Times pop critic John Pareles, whose list starts with this singer, Leslie Feist. John, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Great to be here.
So Feist's Metals tops your list for 2011. What grabbed you about this record?
Well, it's not so much that it grabbed me, but that it kept me. I loved all the songs the first time I heard it, and unlike many albums where this is appealing, this is good, three plays later you think, why did I bother with this? Every time I listen to this, I hear something else. The songs are very melancholy and sorrowful and self-comforting, and they're confronting mortality, they're confronting breakups, they're figuring things out. And meanwhile, she's got all this stuff going on in the studio. You have what seems to be a girl and a guitar at the beginning, and by the end, a whole orchestra has crashed in. You've got a battalion of crumhorns coming in.
Crumhorns.
Wow. Baroque crumhorns. Mm-hmm. And just things happen in the middle of these songs. There are big, sudden buildups as if all of this emotion is cresting inside, and she's found a way to do it musically.
Was it a good year for women in pop music this year? I mean, Adele leading the way, for sure.
Well, yeah, I guess it was. I mean, I don't think, you know, women versus men is that relevant anymore. I think everybody's charting their own path. I mean, it was Adele's year commercially. She's gonna sweep the Grammys. That album
seems
to me,
likely, yeah. 5.3 million copies sold in this day and age is unheard of.
Plus grown-ups like her. that album to me is a singles plus filler album. I really love Rolling in the Deep, but cut for cut, the Feist album is stronger.
Okay, so Feist made your top 10 list. The Adele album didn't, although Rolling in the Deep was in your top 10 songs.
How can you not love that song?
Yeah, terrific song. But as long as we've started with the Feist record Metals, let's go to another kind of metal that's on your list. The black metal band known as Liturgy.
Yeah, you found the secret symmetry in my list, which I was not aware was there. But yeah, number 10 on the list, mm-hmm, is Aesthetica. There's an extra H in there. Aesthetica by the band Liturgy, which is from Brooklyn, is led by a guitarist with perhaps the best black metal name ever, Hunter Hunt Hendrix. What else would you call a guitarist? But I love this band because a lot of the albums on my list had very careful, complicated, intricate song craft, and Liturgy just blasted them away. I mean, so much for preciousness. There is a lot of structural fun and mathematics going on in Liturgy. It doesn't just blast. It's as close to Glenn Branca as it is to Glenn Branca,
the downtown composer of symphonies for electric guitars.
Right.
And there is an almost symphonic sound to some of this music from the band Liturgy.
We'll be right back.
some black metal out of Brooklyn from the band Liturgy. Are we saying...
Don't we all feel better now? Don't we all feel like revved up we can get through the rest of the day?
I've purged something from myself during the last 60 seconds. Are we saying aesthetica?
Aesthetica.
Okay, because there are extra H's in the spelling of what looks like aesthetica. Returner is the name of that song from Liturgy. Just a quick mention for the black metal fans. Yes, we know they're controversial because the real black metal fans say, ah, that's not black metal.
It's prog black metal, I guess, or somebody's going to have a new term for it, you know, semi-gray metal. I don't know.
Now, there's a couple of veterans on your list. Paul Simon and Tom Waits, both returning this year with albums that obviously caught your ear.
Yeah, they took their time making albums. They both made themselves friendlier in a way. I mean, the Paul Simon album, his previous album with Brian Eno, I deeply disliked. I thought it was cluttered and sour. And this one, he just like lifts off. Everything is light-fingered and brilliantly constructed as always, but also just full of humor and joy in life. And meanwhile, all the songs are about death. The songs are about what happens in the... He has the afterlife is a bureaucratic line, kind of like the DMV in one song. And, you know, God's telling people that the Big Bang was kind of a joke. It's a really lighthearted album. I mean, he turned 70 this year. I'm sure he was thinking about this stuff, but the way he was thinking about it was not, oh, woe is me. It was, this is a new frontier.
The album called So Beautiful or So What? And then Tom Waits, sort of right behind him.
Yeah, Tom Waits also takes his time writing songs, but he told me, actually, I interviewed him, that this album was an effort to be concise and not write 200 verses, but write the right 5 verses. And it's also, I hate to use this word, it's more accessible because that sounds like it's dumbing down, but instead it's opening up. It's inviting you back in. He also, on this album, there's more of Tom Waits' voices than you imagined on this album. There's a falsetto. I mean, there's the growl and the rasp and the rumble, but there's also this tender voice that he rarely lets out.
Yeah, it was really surprising. I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, this is Tom Waits? Let's hear a little bit from both of these records. First, Paul Simon from So Beautiful or So What, and then Tom Waits' Bad as Me.
Love and blessings, simple kindness, fell like rain on thirsty land. Fields and gardens long abandoned came to life in dust and sand. Lovers' lips, sweet as honey, touched as if old love was new. Bankers' pockets overflowing with gold and money. Prophecies of wealth come true. Ain't no song like an old song, Charlie.
There ain't enough rich riding men.
Two veterans on John Perellis' Top 10 for 2011. Tom Waits there with Raised Right Men from his album Bad as Me. Who else could get away with singing the line, Heavens to Murgatroyd?
Only Tom Waits. But I mean, I was actually, as you played this, I was thinking there is kind of a thread going through most of my list, which is total studio craziness. I mean, if you listen to that song has some cheap organ and a tabla going in the background. The Paul Simon song has, and the album has all of this Paul Simon using sampling. Everybody is just, everybody's a cottage industry now in the music biz. Everybody is finding their own way. Or the ones I love are finding their own way. The formulas, they're ignoring them, and they're just pulling from all over the place. I think it's the internet mentality coming to music, that you can just grab anything you want, but people are really doing a lot of fascinating things with it. And you know, even elderly people like Paul Simon and Tom Waits are still playing with the sonic menu. They're not restricting themselves.
Mm-hmm. Tom Waits, not quite so elderly, no. Is he? Although he was elderly when he was 20.
Exactly.
John Perellis' full list is on our webpage at wnyc.org/soundcheck. It's our annual Critics Week coming to a close today. John Perellis is pop music critic for the New York Times, and we're skipping through his top 10. Drake is, your top 10, the eclecticism of it seems to reflect just that, what we were just talking about.
Well, I do want to listen to everything, too. And Drake is a fascinating character. Drake is, girls, don't go out with Drake. He's a bad boyfriend. That's basically the major theme of this album, is what a bad boyfriend he is. Drake has been on every other hip-hop record released in the last calendar year as a guest, as a vocalist, as something. And on this album, he's all about how successful he has been and about how miserable he is, how ambivalent he is about it. And what put it on my list was not the cleverness of his rhymes, which are extremely clever, and not his singing voice, which is okay, but the sonic architecture he put around himself, because as he's rapping and singing about feeling so isolated and questioning himself and looking at all the nasty things he's done to women, he's also constructed, he and his producers have constructed this keyboard prison in which everything is sort of cold and transparent. I listen to this album, I feel like he's in a sensory deprivation chamber. He's so alone, and that comes through the music.
The album is called Take Care, and this is Drake's song called Marvin's Room.
Cops at a XO. All my people been here. I see all of her friends here. Guess she don't have the time to kick it no more. Flights in the morning. What you doing that's so important? I've been drinking so much that I'ma call you anyway and say that you love so bad.
Marvin's Room from Drake and his album Take Care, which is on John Perellis' top 10 list for 2011. And boy, that really is some very unusual production.
It is, and the whole album does similar, or takes similar chances. Each song is really different.
Your list also includes, I just want to mention it briefly, Watch the Throne, the big hip-hop coming together of Kanye West and Jay-Z.
Which could have been just them bragging about how famous they are, but instead it turns into this meditation on success. And, I mean, they're the 1%, but they are thinking about the 99% throughout that album.
And when you were describing Drake and his kind of feelings of ambiguity with his own success, it struck me as very similar to what we've heard Kanye, the kind of tortured lyrics that Kanye has trotted out over the years. The full list, once again, on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Ryan Adams, on your list. He was here in our studio this year with a great new record. We'll be revisiting some of our best live music moments next week on Soundcheck, and you can bet Ryan Adams will be part of that. Ashes and Fire, though, as a record, is a little bit of an outlier on your list.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of the other things on my list are crazy things you can do in the studio. This album is actual, it sounds like, and I'm sure it's not exactly, but it sounds like actual instruments playing in a room. It's produced by Glyn Johns, who produced Sticky Fingers. And Glyn Johns, he can do my makeup. Glyn Johns makes everything sound perfectly itself and better than it ever sounded before. A piano, an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Adams took that clarity and just wrote these beautiful songs. So on the rest of my list, everybody's, you know, knocking things together, doing experiments. This is straight songwriting, beautiful playing, and it just touches you because it's so, it's not simple because people can't do it, but it touches you because it's so clear.
Ryan Adams and Ashes and Fire.
Waiting outside while you find your keys, like bags of trash in the blackening snow. City of neon and toes that freeze. We got nothing and nowhere to go. We got nothing and nowhere. And the lights will draw you in, and the dark will take you down, and the night will break your heart, only if you're lucky now. And if the lights draw you in, and the dark can take you down, then love can mend your heart, but only if you're lucky now.
That is Ryan Adams and the song Lucky Now from his album Ashes and Fire, which is on John Perelis' list of the best of 2011. The New York Times pop music critic helping us to wrap up our annual Critics Week on Soundcheck. And John, one of the things I've always turned to your list for at the end of the year is not just what's happening in the West in pop music, but in world music. And you found this group in Benin.
Well, I didn't find them, actually. A European fan found them. This is Orchestra Polyrythmo de Cotonou, which also calls itself, just to confuse you, the tout puissant, the all-powerful Orchestra
right.
Polyrythmo.
Le tout puissant Orchestre Polyrythmo, the totally awesome Orchestre Polyrythmo.
Powerful. But they were, I guess they were a big deal in Africa from the late 60s until 1980 when they made their last album. They toured. They were all over the place. They have dozens of records that came out in Africa that I never knew about. Some very dedicated fan gathered them together, put them in a studio. This is basically, this new album is their greatest hits, redone with all the fire of the past. The thing I like about them is they're from Benin. Benin is the ancestral home of voodoo. And voodoo rhythms are sort of laced through all of these songs. So Benin's also right next to Nigeria. So you have Afrobeat, which is familiar, but then you have this extra layer of voodoo. So you've gone from calculus to multivariable calculus in the rhythmic sense. So that's why I love them.
It's a really colorful record and one that was a pick on Soundcheck some months ago. It's the Orchestre Polyrythmo from Benin. That is Orchestre Polyrythmo, or if you insist, Le Tout Puissant Orchestre Polyrythmo and their record Cotonou Club, a song called Holding On. The story, John, is that it was assumed some of these guys were dead, and they were still living, still there. And
they can still play.
And they obviously can still play.
And when you saw them, they could still dance.
So they are on John Perelis' list, his top 10. The full list is on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Just a little bit of Retromania from Licky Lee, the Swedish songstress in the background, to wrap up. John, a great list as always. Thank you for being with us.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you.
In a moment, the Soundcheck staff shares our favorite albums of 2011. And then later, we take your calls and comments about the biggest musical mistakes of the past year. And get your tickets now for our upcoming Green Space show with Porgy and Bess stars Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis, plus singer-songwriter Sharon Van Etten on Tuesday, January 17th at 2 p.m. in the Green Space. You can get tickets at wnyc.org/soundcheck.